The state of California is considering a proposal which would officially declare it a sanctuary state and would prohibit state and local officials from assisting federal immigration officers seeking to deport those in the country without documentation. It's a declaration that the state's largest city, Los Angeles, has not made. And L.A. just re-elected its mayor, 46-year-old Democrat Eric Garcetti. Mayor Garcetti joins us. Welcome back to Here and Now.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
So first of all, how is L.A. doing?
L.A. is doing superb. We've cut our unemployment rate in half. Our voters just passed the largest transportation and homeless initiatives in the country's history at the local level. You know, businesses are popping up. We have, you know, traffic, and we've got homelessness, and we've got housing prices going up that come with those. But those are good problems to solve when voters are empowering you to actually spend dollars to, you know, build a new city. And I would not rather be anywhere else in America right now. Los Angeles, I think, is leading the way in embodying our values.
So speaking of those values, let's talk specifically about things like such as immigration. Of course, LA, a city of many, many immigrants, and you have spoken out about President Trump's executive order on immigration. But if I understand correctly, on the other hand, you've declined to call LA a sanctuary city specifically. Why is that?
Well, if a sanctuary city is something in which our police department is not turned into immigration agents, we are, and proudly so. I think there's so much confusion around the issue that others define it as a place that kind of coddles and defends and protects dangerous criminals, which we don't. So in the former, we absolutely are. In fact, we've led the way. And not only do our police officers keep a distinct lane where we do not enforce our immigration laws, that's a federal responsibility, and to do so would not only take away precious police hours, but would undermine the trust we've built with our immigrant communities. We're going further, and we're actually providing a legal defense fund to defend, you know, those dreamers, those military families, and others who may be threatened with deportation under what we've seen come out of the White House. And we should continue to stand up for immigrants. That's our history as a nation and certainly as a city here in L.A.
Mm. But on the other hand, though, I mean, of course, as you well know, the Trump administration has said that it would like to, if necessary, you know, freeze funding to so-called sanctuary cities. I mean, how much would L.A. stand to lose if that happened?
Well, we have about $500 million of our tax dollars that we send to Washington and that come back to us. We're a donor city. We give more to the nation than we receive back from our own income taxes and other federal taxes. That said, we feel on extremely strong constitutional ground that any attempt to do so would violate the United States Constitution. The Supreme Court decided that a couple years ago against the Obama administration when they were trying to force states and localities to expand Medicaid. And the Supreme Court said you can't put a kind of fiscal gun to the head of states and localities to do one policy by taking away money or threatening to take away money from a different area. So I'm encouraging the administration instead to get to the hard work of actually fixing the immigration system and do what Ronald Reagan did in the 80s and have a comprehensive immigration reform package instead of, you know, playing these silly games.
Mm. But just to be clear, the number that you mentioned is $500 million,
yes,
potentially.
So that's $500 million.
Not insignificant for the city.
It's not insignificant. We've heard no threat of taking 100% of this money away. The first, the budget that just came out from the Trump administration, in fact, didn't single out so-called sanctuary cities over others. They decided to take away all funding from all cities because I think they recognize if they pick certain cities that this will be in violation of the Constitution. So they're talking about taking away from all cities reimbursement for some of the jail expenses that counties and cities have today.
Hmm. Now, you talked about voters a little bit earlier. I want to note that voters in LA County just passed a quarter-cent sales tax increase in order to pay for homeless services. You tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was an extraordinary vote. Out here in California, you need a two-thirds vote to pass new taxes. But building on an earlier initiative in November, the city of LA passed about $1.2 billion to be able to house our homeless with 10,000 new units of housing to get people off the streets. The county now has passed this other measure that'll give us $350 million a year for the next decade to help give the services to those people in housing. We know it works out here in Los Angeles. You can't put somebody in an apartment who's lived on the street without the mental health services, job training, substance abuse counseling that he or she may need. Similarly, treating people on the street is no solution. They need housing. But we finally got these two measures passed that'll allow us to really solve this problem once and for all.
Yeah, so let's talk about the flip side of that, and that is there's been a surge of development going on in Los Angeles, which, you know, for any city is a good thing. But on the other hand, community activists are worrying about the Manhattanization or gentrification of LA. I mean, isn't that always a pressing worry when you have a surge of growth like that?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I agree that we always have to balance the growth, which is good, which helps us bring down housing prices over time because you have more units. We have a lot of jobs that want to come to Los Angeles and not enough houses or housing units for people. And we need to build about 100,000 units more, and we're half of the way there. But voters soundly rejected an idea of putting a moratorium on that. I hope this year to pass something called a linkage fee that will require developers, when they're building luxury condominiums and apartments, to put money aside to subsidize housing for the rest of us as well, that would build, you know, tens of thousands of units of affordable housing, which Los Angeles needs. And combined with the measures that we mentioned before on homelessness, we could literally be building more units of affordable housing per capita than any city in America.
Important, right? Because you've got to find ways to incentivize the construction of affordable and middle-income housing. So just as a reality check, what is average rent for an apartment in L.A. right now?
Well, you know, in an area like Hollywood, a studio would start at about $1,100 a month. It's very difficult to get anything under $1,000 unless it's been subsidized. And that quickly goes up. 1-2-bedroom apartments can be in the $2,000, $3,000 range. We have cities with higher rents like San Francisco and New York, but we have one of the biggest, if not the biggest, gaps between average wages mm-hmm. and average rent in America. And so I'm focused like a laser on doing two things, raising wages by, you know, raising our minimum wage, which I led the fight to do, and finding more of those $50 to $100 an hour jobs in infrastructure and key industries like technology. And then second, bringing rents down by building more subsidized housing as well as more market rate housing, because we need it both at the top and the bottom to just have more units. It's a simple supply and demand problem we have right now with not enough units for the number of people who still are excited about coming or staying in Los Angeles.
Yeah. A couple more quick questions, if I may. Crime is on the rise, I think, in a noticeable way. What's your answer to bringing that crime rate back down?
Well, it was one of the safest years in 60 years last year, but percentage-wise, the last 2 years did see an increase, double-digit increase, kind of at the bottom of that hook on a graph. The good news is the last 7 months it's been flat, and the last 2.5 months of this year it's been coming down. We've seen it up and down the West Coast. I think drugs are cheap. That's leading to a lot of people being addicts. We're seeing them living on the streets. A lot of well-intentioned criminal justice reforms in California, which have reduced sentences, are a good idea. But the savings, which were supposed to catch people before they became criminals again or addicts again, has not come to the street. So we're working very hard to make sure that we have more intervention and prevention, not just more policing. And I think the reason we've turned the corner is Los Angeles is also has really modeled what community policing can look like. And we're putting more officers in neighborhoods for longer periods of time so they get to know the names of young people in the neighborhood and vice versa. That can help us reduce and prevent crime. And then we're expanding all of our youth programs to make sure that young people have safe places to be in the summertime and on the weekends during the school year as well.
Yeah. Now, Mayor Garcetti, you're very bullish on LA, and that is the right of any big city mayor. But honestly, for a second here, just my last question to you is, what do you think is your genuine biggest challenge right now for the city that maybe you're not sure all the pieces are in place for LA to solve?
Well, I think poverty is the biggest challenge for Los Angeles and for many of our cities that have come back from the recession. We can't leave anybody behind, and I always say we can't average out our prosperity. If we did in Los Angeles, everybody could say they were well off. But even though we've cut unemployment less than half of what it was before, about 5% now, in certain neighborhoods, it's still double digits. There's too many zip codes that are the determinant of success. And so I'm, you know, really focused in bringing together those pieces. We have two promise zones, which are the federal programs that begin to attack poverty not just by looking at housing or just looking at education or just looking at parks and health or just looking at our safety, but really pulling all those pieces together. You know, a child drops out of school and then doesn't be able to graduate from college or get a good job for a host of reasons. It might not just be the quality of her education. It might be the violence in her home. It might be the violence in her community. It might be the obesity in her family. And, you know, for us to really be a prosperous city and country, we've got to make sure that we're taking care of everybody. And so poverty really continues to be my driving motivation and force as we see this amazing moment in LA to ensure that it's for everybody and not just most of us.
Well, Eric Garcetti is the mayor of Los Angeles. Mayor Garcetti, thanks so much.
Such a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.